Hello and welcome to Jibe Talking, the Volvo Sailing Podcast. I'm Guy Swindles, and in this edition, we're off to Sardinia and the Louis Vuitton Trophy, where we catch up with Antigua and BMW Oracle's Shannon Falcone. We also hear from designer Juan K on his new TP52 for Team Origin, and we look at what's going on in that team with Yachting World's Matt Sheehan. All this and a Med Cup roundup with Andy Robertson. But first, as always, it's the Volvo Sailing Podcast news headlines. Team director Mike Sanderson leaves Team Origin after a disappointing start to both the Louis Vuitton and TP52 Meg Cup circuits. Macalzoni Latino and Artemis are the surprise early leaders in the latest Louis Vuitton Trophy regatta in Sardinia. Adam Minoprio emerges victorious in the second round of the World Match Race circuit in Germany. Despite poor weather cancelling the final, he won the round-robin event. Croatia's Ivan Gaspic is probably still celebrating after winning the European Finn Championship in his home waters. Okay, now we're going to talk to the biggest sporting star from Antigua. And I know Brian Lara and the rest of the cricketers are around, but Shannon Falcone genuinely is huge, and he's had a huge last year. He has come second in the Volvo Ocean Race with Puma, and he has won the America's Cup with BMW Oracle. How's he feeling?
It's been pretty full on last 3 years, I'd say. No, but it's good to get back into, let's say, the America's Cup as we remembered it before the multi-hull experience, which was fantastic, especially after leading on from the 30-plus knots that we had on the monohulls with the Volvo 70s, but now it's slowed down a bit, but the action's got pretty close, boat-on-boat stuff, so no, it's good to get back into the racing, so to speak.
Do you miss the speed?
yeah, no, you certainly do, but on the other hand, you have so much on with boat-on-boat, and all the close action that's happening with other teams, because we've been out of the game for a while. And a lot of teams have been doing quite a few acts up to this point. And get to the point where, you know, every team you meet can, you know, take a point off you. And so it's been interesting.
How difficult, Shannon, has it been to jump between Volvo 70s, multi-hulls, and now AC boats?
Not too bad in the end, because AC boats, let's say, are what we've done most, as in, or what I've personally done most in the last 10 years. So in the end, it was the other way around. You know, how difficult was it to jump, say, into a 70 and then onto the multi-hull? I'd say the multi-hull was the most difficult of them all, simply because it was just unknown territory and just the scale of everything was unimaginable. But it was... yeah, a once-in-a-lifetime experience, I think. I'm not sure if it'll happen again, especially at that scale. And the 70s, I think it's just the fact of it's the conditions, you know, the conditions that we met on some of the legs and so on, and you feel it more, when you're racing, you're not totally racing against other teams, but you're racing against yourself and, you know, whatever gets thrown at you conditions-wise. So that's the two main differences between, let's say, the Volvo and the America's Cup.
Now, you are America's Cup sailing, if you like. I know it's the Louis Vuitton Trophy, but a lot of teams have thrown their hat in the ring. You're the holders. How are things going out there in Sardinia for you, Shannon?
No good. Conditions haven't been, let's say, to the race organizers' favours. I know Peter Reggio is having an interesting time trying to get the races on schedule, but the location's amazing, and I think tomorrow's already going to be a good day with breeze. The two races that we have managed to put in, we haven't won, but it's all part of the game, and you know, such short courses, and you just got to get everything right, and like I said, it's just important to keep the action close, so that on the short course, you can... you know, get ready to jump on if the guy's in front, or to protect if the guy's behind.
And are the guys aware that that this is the sort of early jousting for the next America's Cup, if you like?
I'm sure they are. I mean, I don't know with the organisation and how they're, you know, planning to have things going forward. But I think it's just, we're basically going to see a lot more racing, I think, in the future, rather than, you know, what we had. I mean, the last America's Cup we did in monohulls in Valencia, it was a lot of two-boat testing and all that kind of stuff. And I think the focus is going to turn to a lot more of this racing, which is, I mean, I think for any sailor is a great thing. It's what we love to do. So to get out there as often as we will, it'll just raise everyone's game as well. So we'll be seeing a lot more action.
Now, Shannon, you mentioned, I mentioned 2009 was sort of crazy busy for you. You said it's been going on for 3 years. What's next for you?
It's been, well, after the Cup finished and we packed up at the end of February, I managed to then finally get the time off, because I didn't really take much off after the Volvo. So I just managed to get back home to Antigua and relax. And now it's, depending on when the Cup's going to be, it was, you know, I had a personal decision of, I mean, I want to do the next Volvo, but I think with things as they are on a personal level for me, just to be part of a defense, it's something that I've never done. And with the fact that there's the introduction of a new class, which we don't even know about yet, but I think it's important to be part of that. But it's not ruling out the Volvo. I mean, even the last time, it was much more than I'd ever hoped for, due to the fact that I had actually signed up for the Cup, and then that whole Volvo experience that I managed to get was something that developed along the way. So they're both races that I, you know, would love to do again, and hopefully will do again. So the fact is, at the moment, I think it's a bit more on the short term of focus of the America's Cup.
But you haven't ruled out a return to the Volvo, or maybe just joining crew when you can.
Well, absolutely not.
Well, Shannon, I really hope I see you around all the traps and you manage to juggle everything and make it work. And thanks very much for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, Guy. And we'll be speaking again soon, I hope.
I'm joined now by Matt Sheehan, the technical editor of Yachting World. Now, we could be accused of a British bias, but it's hard not to be when all the stories currently are coming out of Team Origin. And more of us to mull over this time, Matthew.
Absolutely, yes. It is very, it's, as you say, difficult to ignore them, really, because you know, they're a team that have got high America's Cup hopes, but they're also a team that, at the moment, seem to be in a bit of a boom-bust cycle. There's lots to talk about with them, but and lots to expect from them. And they show flashes of performance and results. And then the next thing is they seem to be tripping over their shoelaces and falling apart. So it's an interesting time for the team.
That's almost on and off the water. We better start with the big news, really, and off the water, and that's the departure of team director Mike Sanderson.
Yes, that was a big surprise for a lot of people, because Mike has been at the heart of this team right from the start and was responsible a couple of years ago for pulling together what many saw as being a bit of a dream team. Obviously, we know what happened after that. We had 2 years of uncertainty with the Cup, but now the Cup's back on track and we know that it's going to happen. It was a bit surprising to see him go.
But we have to say that Team Origin perhaps haven't got the results that may have been expected with that dream team over recent regattas, both TP52 and in the Louis Vuitton.
I think that's absolutely right. I think it's very easy to get a sort of distorted picture when you're only looking at one regatta, thinking, well, that seems a bit harsh. But when you actually look back to, as you say, the Louis Vuitton series this round that started back in November in Nice last year, the team showed signs of being pretty good, but kept having either tactical issues or they didn't have the results that they wanted. Basically, by the end of it, they underperformed there. They then went on to Auckland. They showed some flashes of brilliance there, but actually, come the end of it, they'd underperformed. And then they turned up with their brand new boat in Qashqai, which was a TP52, and they had a similar problem. So there were three regattas, and I guess at some point you have to say, we've got to try a different tack.
Well, you mentioned that what happened in Qashqai. Of course, they were doing so well halfway through the regatta, only to fall away at the end. And, of course, they turned up with the only new TP52 this year.
They certainly did. And there was an awful lot of attention focused on this team because of that very fact. It's the only new TP52. For those that follow the TP52 will know, for others, the TP52 class is actually going through a bit of a transitional phase as they bring the rules and the modern generation up to another standard. But they're doing it in two phases, so they changed the rules at the end of last year for this season, and they're going to change them again at the end of this season. And the British boat was the only brand new TP52. It attracted an awful lot of attention, as indeed did the team, because there's a long list of rock stars in their team. And the early signs were that the boat was very quick indeed, and certainly upwind. It was quite a controversial boat as well in its design. It has wings, which stirred a little bit of controversy, but it was very quick upwind. It seemed to struggle a bit downwind, but the bigger problem seemed to be when it came to actually crew handling problems, and they seemed to give away results through crew handling errors rather than boat speed.
Let's have a look at that boat, perhaps. There's nothing we can do about the boat speed, but you did catch up with the designer of the boat itself.
I did, and I started by asking him about these controversial wings.
The rule is clear. The way it's being applied is not clear. Right. And therefore, it's with a very limited amount of time, it's been quite a struggle because, you know, you're always in doubt kind of thing. So we came out with this boat, which on top of it, as per the new rule, it has to satisfy Germanische Lloyd construction requirements, which we estimate that it's going to be something about 100 to 120 kilos heavier than some of the old generation boats, which, you know, when boats that have lead in the bilge, it shouldn't make that much of a big difference. But however, when some of that weight is put at the ends, particularly in the bow, then it starts being a bit of a downside. So that is the fundamental differences from a rule point of view. And then, of course, there is the design choices, which are somehow different. I think in terms of the hull shape, this boat is a bit more stable than the other ones. The bow is very different, and the appendages are also bigger and very, very tilted for upwind performance. And I think that's probably an area where our lack of experience have made us make a decision that might be a little bit off target, is that we probably have a boat that is too tilt to upwind and not enough to downwind. But that's something that, you know, it wasn't that evident when we were analyzing the data. It becomes more and more evident when you sail against the other boats, and therefore that's our lack of experience in this class that probably tilt us a bit too much on that area. But it can be correct. So I mean, we will use this season to progress and to mold the boat in whichever way we think that we should. So I mean, the guys have been sailing the boat for 6 or 7 days before the first event. It's for the reasons that I told you. We don't know exactly where we are. So anything but last will be a good result here, but obviously we're not doing the Met Cup to be last, so we're expecting to improve our performance. If we do anything but last here, we'll be very happy, and then of course we'll go for the win in Marseille and hopefully achieve the victory in Barcelona. That hopefully we'll get to that.
What other, have you tried this idea in other boats? You said your experience in other boats, is that?
Yeah, well, we tried this in, funny enough, I did this bow in when I worked in Prada in 2001, I think it was. Prada had bought Young America 53 and 53 and 58, which were the FAR design boats. And do you remember the Young America?
I do.
And I did almost exactly that bow, Stevie Erickson can tell you. And it worked really well. Everybody was happy, but then, for internal politics, it was decided to to be removed because he had to come from a source, he couldn't come from another. But anyway, that's politics aside, but yeah, we have tried that then, and it has worked. And then obviously we tried it in some models on the CFD, and it's always nice.
Well, Juan Kay there, and Matt, interesting what he had to say on the subject, but where now perhaps for Team Origin?
Well, Team Origin are now back in the America's Cup style boats, the version 5 boats. They're in Sardinia, in La Maddalena, and they've had a weekend, couple of days of racing, and unfortunately for them, much as they wanted to draw a line under the problems that they've been having and the departure of Mike Sanderson, unfortunately the first few days at least were a bit of a nightmare for the team, and it leaves them, after 2 days, they were left actually right at the very bottom of the ranking.
Well, Matt, yeah, it's difficult really, but you've followed the team, you've watched them closely, you've sailed on the boat with them. You look, as you say, about the rock stars on board. What is going wrong?
Well, that's the big question, isn't it? What is indeed going wrong with the British team? They're certainly not short of talent. They're not short of experience. But, as you say, having sailed with them both on the version 5 America's Cup boat and on their brand new TP52, it would appear that when they're in clear, open water and they've got the space to make their decisions and spot the wind shifts and make the tactical calls as to which side of the course to go, they're absolutely superb. They nail it most of the time. The boat isn't slow either, so we can't, in the TP52's case, the boat isn't slow. In the version 5 boats, well, they're just sailing the same boat as everybody else. So what is it that's going wrong? It appears to be crew handling errors most of the time. When you look back at the races where things have gone wrong, it seems to be a crew handling problem. Now, I suspect, looking at it, it's more of a communication problem rather than the experience of the people involved. This is not a high-profile sailing school. These guys have got CVs that make very, very impressive reading. So it's not that they don't know what to do. I suspect that somewhere along the line, somewhere within that very complex communications chain, there is a problem. I don't know what it is, but I suspect it's that. That's worrying, of course, if you put together a very experienced team. But then, on the other hand, it's not something that's fundamentally wrong either with their crew list or with the boat. I think it's a more subtle problem they've got.
Matt Sheehan, let's hope for better days. Both of us being slightly biased on the British side, let's hope for better days from Team Origin. But for the meantime, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Now, our next guest, Andy Robertson, has been the English writer on the Audi Meg Cup Series since 2006. Now, last weekend saw the first regatta in the latest series in Cascai, and it looked same old as Team New Zealand carried on where they left off last time. Now, I asked Andy whether that really was the case.
That's certainly the case at the end of the regatta, but it certainly wasn't the case at the very beginning. You know, we saw Team New Zealand started with a particularly bad day, which they had a first and a last, and they only really got into their stride over the first two or three days. And the likes of Team Origin were competing really hard in the first part of the regatta as well. And there's three different new teams this season, and it's going to be very hard.
Now, you've been following the event for the last 4 or 5 years. A few less boats perhaps this time round, but is the standard any less intense?
If anything, it's much more intense. As I say, with the three new teams, they're all America's Cup teams. So, in fact, the top level, if you like, has improved significantly this season. And also the kind of second level, if you like, these are all boats which are capable of winning races and challenging for the podium towards the end of regattas.
Now, you mentioned that Team New Zealand didn't have it all their own way throughout, but did go on to have the win. Where do you see them coming? What do you see happening for the rest of the summer?
I think they're certainly the class act of the circuit, but you know what you will expect to see now is the likes of Team Origin, Luna Rossa, Quantum. You know, none of them had particularly good regattas in Cascai, and their level will progressively increase as they get into the second and third regattas of the season. Without a doubt.
Now, obviously, just the one new boat in the regatta this year. Team Origin unveiling Juan Kay's latest creation. What kind of a stir did that create down on dockside?
It created a significant stir, not just because it's, you know, a slightly more radical design, and it's the first of the newer designs as we move into a new rule for 2011. But, you know, the boat proved to be lightning quick upwind and a little bit slow downwind. So, that, you know, they clearly have a little bit of work to do.
Andy, obviously the Team Origin have made changes behind the scenes and things like this, but are you getting a feeling now that the America's Cup perhaps is back on, that suddenly, I know the Audi Made Cup's a huge event in its own right, but is it picking up a little because there are so many AC teams involved now? Is that now being reflected in the TP52 circuit as well?
I think certainly this season is probably the peak in that sense, in that any America's Cup design decisions will be really big for next season in terms of building and putting programs together. So, I mean, we certainly see the America's Cup, this is where the America's Cup teams want to practice at the moment. And I think that would probably continue into next season.
Now, you mentioned the intensity of the racing. You've been out on the water. You've watched these guys in action. What can people expect now for the rest of the Audi Med Cup series?
I think it's more of the same, and it will become more and more intense. But I don't think that Emirates Team New Zealand will have it all its own way, the same way they did last year. Last year they really did have a little speed edge that they could play with, and I think that the likes of Quantum were proving in Cascais that they can match them most of the time. I'm sure that Team Origin will improve, and you know, Luna Rossa, and they're all going to be challenging, and you know, I think it will only get more intense.
So what next for the circuit? Where will we talk to you next, Andy?
Marseille, which is always an interesting regatta. I mean, one of the significant things about this season is that, you know, in Cascais we probably had an average wind speed of around 15 knots, or possibly even slightly more. And then through the season, you'll expect to see the average wind speeds drop off through the summer, and then possibly increase again as we get towards the end of the season. And so Team New Zealand are very much in their preferred wind range, in the upper wind ranges. And so I think Marseille, you may see a little bit more variation. We may get a few days of Mistral, in which case it's a little bit more of the same. But also we tend to get two or three days of light winds as well in Marseille in June.
Well, Andy, we look forward very much, of course, to the next round of the Audi Med Cup. And in the meantime, thanks for joining us, and hopefully we'll grab a chat with you after the next regatta.
Pleasure.
Okay, that's it for this latest edition of Jibe Talking. Please join us next time when we'll have all the latest news from the world of sailing. And remember, for all the latest updates from the Volvo Ocean Race, check in at regular intervals to www.volvooceanrace.org.